This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending many greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we find in the heavens and upon the earth a concept of placing things in pairs. That the Quran mentions, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Everything we have created in pairs, that you may ponder and reflect upon this. The essence of zawjiyya or pairs may exist physically, that we can really visualize around us. وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا He is the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the sun to be a radiant light of heat and placed the moon to be giving light. The sun and moon that we find. The creation of the night and day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who placed the night and the day as signs for the believers. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَتَّذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا Whoever wants to ponder and to reflect and to give gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who created al-ard, al-bahar, the ocean, al-barq, the land, have been created in pairs, male and female. And like with those things that we cannot visualize, but we know that they exist, that which is khabir and that which is tayyib, something which is pure, and something which is impure. And likewise we find good and evil, shar and khayr, or we find kufr and iman. That's what ulama mentioned, that min al-aqad, from the opposites, you begin to appreciate the reality or the truth. If there was no kufr, there would be no appreciation of iman. If there wasn't shirk, then we will not really understand the concept of Tawheed. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed these elements upon this earth, hikmatullahi baligha, the immense wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, placing all this aside for the individual to reflect and to ponder. And that's a time the individual needs to have a clear distinction from those entities or those things around us. As the Quran itself talks about the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awliya rahman, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise by awliya of shaytan, the friends, the allies of the devil. And as Shaykh Hussain ibn Taymiyyah wrote a whole book entitled Al-Furqan, the criterion between awliya rahman and awliya of shaytan, the distinction between the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the friends of the devil. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah becomes their friend. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a friend, the protector, the helper of those individuals that believe, brings them out from the realms of darknesses and brings them to the light. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Those who disbelieve, أَوْلِيَاهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يخرجونه من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار فيها خالدون. The friends of Shaytan, or the task of Shaytan, is to take people away from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lead them towards the darknesses, the depths of evil and corruption. That is the task of those individuals. And that's why from this comes the conclusion of Hizbullah, the group, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And always the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be victorious. وَحِزْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ, the party of Shaytan. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ الشَّيْطَانِ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. The allies of the devil, the party of the devil, the group of the devil, are indeed going to be disgraced individuals upon this earth and likewise inside the akhirah. So the Muslim needs to make a distinction about themselves, about their creed, about their belief, about their practices. Everything about them has to be distinct, has to be clear. Quran mentions, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. These individuals will never be happy with you until you don't follow their millah. What does the word millah mean? What does it entail? It means everything about those individuals, imitating them in every single aspect that we begin to find begins to take place at the moment. Whether it be the complete imitation, or we find the taqlid al-juz'iyyah, or partial in imitation of those individuals that begins to have an impact upon our aqa'id, upon our belief, upon our sulook, upon our characteristics, our behavior, and our etiquette. And that's why those Muslims who believe in sharing certain values with those individuals, you see it all across the Muslim world, we read history, whether it be the land of Philistine 25 years ago. What was the sha'ariyah? What were the symbols in the Middle East? A sha'abiyah, qawmiyah, asabiyah, arabiyah. Read through the history. Was about nationalism, Arab pride, Arab justice, Arab brotherhood, nations. That's what their slogans were. It's nothing strange. Don't read about it. It's only now that these slogans have become what? La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. But 25 years ago, their slogan was something else. Because many of them, they believe that the way that we're going to excel and we're going to come forward is when we begin to share certain identities with these individuals. You find manuals and manuscripts written talking about Shu'iyya, talking about communism, Ba'athmaniyya, capitalism, following the belief of Karl Marx, people like those individuals. And there's no doubt about their kufr and their disbelief. These became the slogans of many Muslims, that these are the ideal personalities or the individuals or the way of life that we need to follow to revive in ourselves. And that these same individuals, their slogans today become verses in the Quran. As we mentioned, وَلَمْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَمْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعْ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Their slogans have become the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِالْقَوْمِ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people eventually becomes like those individuals. It's taken some time for those Muslims to recognize that, but there's still khayr and goodness in that. They've acknowledged that belief in something necessitates, has to have a guide, a personality, or an identity. If you believe in something, you need someone who will guide you, someone who will show you the way, and need personalities for you to follow that way. It's simple. Whatever your belief is, you look at those individuals who profess those beliefs, those individuals who are true to those beliefs, and those individuals who begin to spread that belief. So as far as we are concerned, the belief for us is al-Islam. That's how simple it is. As the Quran mentioned, beginning with Surah Al-Imran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The way of life in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Islam. There's no mixing of Islam with the other 236 or so isms that we find. Some Muslims believe that we can amalgamate them and come together. Rather, in the same surah as Surah Al-Imran, it mentions a verse 85, if I'm not mistaken, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses another way of life other than al-Islam, it will never ever be accepted from that individual, and that individual will be amongst the losers. And likewise, the most important verses are the Quran. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 3, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Islam Deena. This day I completed my favors upon you, and I've chosen for you Islam as your way of life. That's it. That's how simple the solution is. So the belief for a Muslim is the belief in al-Islam, the Imam that the person is to have inside this. Second, we find is who is the guide? Who is the one who comes to explain Islam to us? Who is the personality that we look up to? Once again, the answer is documented inside the Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We sent down the dhikr upon you, the Quran, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, that you may explain to mankind that which has been sent down upon them. Referring to who? To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For you to emulate and to copy the Prophet Muhammad is the finest example. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So he is the personality. That is the benchmark that we as Muslims, we look at the text of the Quran, and then we look at the Sunnah, and we look at the character and the behavior and interpretation of the Prophet Muhammad of the Quran. Then comes the personalities. Who are those individuals who live true to that message? Who began to spread that message, who held fast to that message, is none other than the companions, the men and the women around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You're the best people that are raised up. Come to the front.
حياك الله شيخ. كيف صحة؟ بارك
الله فيك. جزاك الله خير. استريح مع الشيخ. So you find that the best people are raised up with the companions, ordering the good and forbidding the evil. So you find the imitation, as we mentioned, for us Muslims, has gone to a peak that Muslims are imitating. Imitating in aqidah, in ibadah, in adab, was suluk. And even find partial implementation that we find in certain aspects, we begin to copy them in worship, in politics, economics and address sense, etc., that we begin to find begins to take place. So as Muslims, we should know, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينُ. You have your way of life, you have your sha'a'ir, you have your symbols. Like all you have the symbols of Islam the person holds fast to. And that's what the Quran meant, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever shows reverence and respect to the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is in the consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at times maybe Muslims could fall short in certain symbols of Islam, but a person inside their heart, they have that belief, that conviction. These are the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that many of, unfortunately, the programs we find around us at times, they begin to entertain people via laughing at Islam, making jokes about Islam. That is something dangerous, not against making jokes, which is permissible. But to use jokes using Islam. Ulama mentioned, min nawaqib al-Islam. And that which nullifies a person's Islam is al-istihza'u bi-sunnah. Al-istihza'u bi-sunnah fi kufrun. A person who mocks the sunnah, who makes a joke about it, is a form of kufr. That a person, if they continue, can be classified as a disbeliever. And if, for example, a person doesn't grow their beard, doesn't wear a thobe, doesn't wear a hijab, doesn't wear a niqab, not be harish, no harm. Person knows that it's weakness, difficulty, trying to learn, be khayr, no harm. But a person to come out and to make jokes, people is worried about the size of the beard, worried about the hijab, what's this niqab, medieval dress, medieval practices. This is dangerous. And this is happening where now? Live. Performances are taking place. People are rushing to listen to this. We are the sufaha. We are the foolish individuals. We are laughing at our own selves. And that's the Quran. It begins by talking about the sufaha, the foolish ones. We are the foolish ones at the moment. that we're making our religion a la'ib wa lahu, play and amusement. Those individuals, they love doing this, making a mockery of everything around them. But a Muslim should be very, very vigilant. Even if they don't live by these slogans or live by these symbols, they should not mock Islam. They should not allow any individual to come and mock Islam, especially a Muslim. قُلْ أَبِلَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَحْزِئُونَ. The Quran mentions Surah At-Tawbah. We need to see this ayah, that a person is making a joke. The Prophet Muhammad and his companions worried about food, how greedy they are, how selfish they are, how cowardly they are. And he tried to make excuses to the Prophet. So I was only joking, just passing time. قُلْ أَبِلَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَحْزِئُونَ لَا تَأْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Bring no excuses. You've committed disbelief after Iman. This individual is grasping the rein of the animal, the Prophet, and the Prophet is turning away from him. But don't bring no excuse now. You're making mockery and jest about our stuff. So Muslims should be vigilant about this, reminding oneself and reminding the people around them that we should take Islam as something serious. It's not a game, it's not play, it's not amusement. Likewise, divine, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people eventually becomes like them. That's Ibn Taymiyyah. He wrote a famous risala, a famous book. He talked about اتباع الصراط المستقيم, following the straight path, في مخالفة أصحاب الجحيم, and differing from the companions of the hellfire. In this long work, he talks about every single thing about a Muslim, especially even the dresses that some of us may turn aside from. He talks about extensively how a person dresses in a certain manner, or conducts them in a certain manner, how you meet them in a strange land, you show love and affection towards them as a mutual feeling inside the heart for a Muslim. So that's how Muslims should be, learning about those elements that make a Muslim distinct, so we can recognize one another as being Muslims. Like Allah defined, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Indeed, prophesied by the Prophet Muhammad, you will begin to follow the methodology of the people that came before you. Footstep by footstep, handspan by handspan. That if one of them was to go into a lizard's hole, you would follow suit. You would follow suit. If one of them goes into a lizard's hole, you would do exactly the same thing. The companions asked, are you talking about Al-Yahud and Nasara? Are you referring to the Jews and the Christians that we're going to begin to imitate them? Who else am I referring to? Another narration that we find, Ar-Rum wa Faris, the Romans and the Persians. If you look at the whole globe at the moment, it is what? Hollywood or Bollywood. Simple. That's what the whole world is at the moment. It's either going towards the West or going towards the East. Our imitation, in whatever we do, those are our symbols. It's quite strange. You travel through Fasiru Fil-Arab, you travel through Muslim lands. You find strange things. People are watching and discussing and visualizing things that even we don't even know about living inside this environment. And some of these individuals don't even speak the language, but for them these have become the symbols. Symbols for them, their icons to follow, to read about them, to imitate them, and to emulate and to look up to these individuals. And thus you find them a Muslim begins to look up to individuals who are known for immorality, lil kufri, walil fisqi, walil fujur, known for immorality, bad behavior, rebelliousness, sinfulness. We begin to look up to them and we think that these individuals are personalities. Thus you find that some people try to use the word, this is fun. Fun here, in the Arabic word, means a speciality, a profession. Years ago, many of us were growing up, people involved in those type of artistry, they weren't respected inside society. The person said, I'm a musician by profession, or I'm a dancer by profession, or I'm a singer by profession. In our culture, you use degrading. That was your profession in life. There was no respect given to you. Only a person who's an outcast would follow those professions in life. But today's turn around becomes a fun. It becomes a profession. It becomes that you are a skillful individual in doing these muharramat, doing these haram practices. Likewise, find general words of the Prophet Muhammad in many, many ahadith, khaliful yahud, be different from the Jews. Khaliful Nasara, be different from the Christians. Khaliful Ahlul Kitab, be different from the people of the book. Khaliful Majus, be different from the Magians. All these generic terminologies that we find. Why is the Prophet Muhammad saying these words? Be different from them. Make yourself clear, distinct from what you believe in, the practices that you have, etc. So the first thing that we find is umur al-aqabid, in affairs of our belief. Is there imitation inside the Muslim belief which goes towards kufr and shirk, etc. that we find? Yes, unfortunately there is. The Quran itself mentions, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their belief is tainted with shirk. And here we should pause and make this crystal clear. When we say a person is doing an action of shirk, that does not mean if they're Muslim that they are mushrik. Because some people try to twist our words and say, you're classifying us as disbelievers. Just like if a Muslim commits an action of kufr, that person does not become a kafir. So these are two extremes that we should be wary about. A person commits shirk, who is a Muslim, aslu annahu Muslim, is a Muslim, that person has committed an action of shirk, that does not mean that we are saying you are a mushrik or labeling an individual disbeliever. Likewise, if a person, a Muslim, commits kufr, commits disbelief, read the works of Ibn Taymiyyah, la tahkum ala shakhs. Don't judge upon a person who commits kufr and not kafir, that he is a disbeliever. Because many young brothers, they see a person doing something haram, وَيَحْكُمُونَ عَلَيْهِ. They quit bluntly, they say this person is a disbeliever. They say kufr, but what? It's clear kufr. Khalas. That's not for us to judge people and to make whole statements about people being disbelievers, etc. So we should be wary about people trying to twist the word. Person who commits shirk is committing an action of shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that individual if they repent before they die. If they die upon shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge that individual and give them their due right, etc. So amongst the practice of shirk that we find inside our society as Muslims, we find the raising of graves. The raising of graves, fasiru fil ardh, travel through the Muslim land. You find the raising of graves has become a common practice. This is something which goes against the aqidah of a Muslim. We find the hadith, la'ana Allah Yahud al-Nasara, ittakhadu kubura anbiya'in masajida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed the Jews and the Christians because they've taken their graves, the shrines, and the prophets to be a place of visitation. This is amongst the final words of the Prophet Muhammad. He mentioned it whilst he was leaving his dunya. And he highlighted, don't praise me, don't extol me, like the Christians began to praise Isa ibn Maryam. Inni Abdullah. Indeed, I'm only the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find severe warning. And you can see today the practices of qulub, of excessiveness towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, when praising the dead, excessive praise, we're not against salihin. We believe this awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran documents, ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la mihzanun. The criteria, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. The criteria for awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believe and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The muttaqi is the one who sticks to the halal, avoids the haram. That's Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, every single muttaqi, fahuwa waliyullah. Anybody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sticks to the halal, avoids the haram, becomes what? A friend of Allah. There's no path, there's no manhaj, there's no tariqah, there's no methodology that you have to do certain actions to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim, the doors are open for a person to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this excessive praising of salihin, coming to their shrines, coming to their graves. You know, it may sound very strange for some of us, but go and visit some of the graves. Aynu shirk, the essence of shirk. People say, well, they're just going there for blessings and just looking at the graves. Go there, and you'll hear people saying to the person dead inside the grave, help me, bless me with a child, give me sustenance, I'm sick, I'm ill. If I'm exaggerating or lying, come back and tell me. If you feel I'm exaggerating or lying, go and travel to those graves and listen. And you'll hear people saying bluntly in the open, you are the savior, you are the helper, you're the one that can rescue me. فَهَذَا عَيْنُ الشِّرْكِ. This is the essence of shirk. So we're not against the salihin, we're not against the pious individual inside those graves. We have nothing against them. What we are against is people coming, and those salihin never ask people to come to their graves.
So this is Umur al-Aqad, affairs of unbelief that we begin to emulate whom? The Christians, the Catholics, the building of shrines, relics. You know, if you go and study Catholicism, they have so many relics. Good luck, this and this, and saying this and saying that. You know what? We Muslims are following that same path. Likewise, we find differing religion, excessive differing amongst ourselves, is the way of those deviant individuals. There are certain core elements as Muslims that we should be united upon. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. All of us should be united upon core principles of Islam. We should not begin to hair split, especially when it comes to umur al-taqiyya. Find many times, whether a person raises their hand in prayer, whether how fast they move their finger in tashahud, whether they do this action in prayer, that is a symbol of Ahlul Sunnah. Who said that? Which of the fuqaha have said that's a symbol of Ahlul Sunnah? That's what some of us, our Islam is limited. If he raises his prayers, or if he makes ta'meen khalf al-imam, fahuwa sunni. He's a sunni. He's one of the persons supporting the right views, or he prays, getting his knuckles, pressing them on the floor, or moving his finger at such a speed. No, who says that? These are umur al-ijtihadiyah. These are affairs of ijtihad. There are some ulama that now, some have rejected them. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. The better stance is pray, and you've seen the Prophet Muhammad from praying. But sometimes you could read something, and a large portion of other ulama could see it the opposite. Just like a glass of water ulama written, Ibn Taymiyyah himself written a famous book, Raf al-Malam, and Imbat al-A'lam, raising the blame from the noble ulama, why they differed, why they made certain mistakes inside their life, or why they went to certain views inside their life. Because at times the hadith, قد يكون صحيح عندك. The hadith could be authentic in front of you. But you know the rest of the ulama, it could be da'if. It could be weak in the rest of them. So don't always think that the view that you hold, especially in fiqh, could be the right, appropriate view. So Muslims to have a wide sadr, an open chest. Doesn't mean that we don't encourage people to come to the sunnah and revive the sunnah, etc. We do, we try our best. But these affairs, we are tolerant. But in affairs of aqa'id, we should try to stay away from different one another. Likewise, when the hadith of Bukhari, Qissatu lin Salama wa Habib and Habiba, when he went to Abyssinia, Habasha, and saw the Kanisa with Habasha, and they saw that when the dead and people, the Salihin, they died, they used to build a mausoleum, a grave or a shrine, or make statues of the people. What did the Prophet Muhammad say about those individuals? Ulaika shararul khalq inda Allah azza wa jalla. Those are the most wicked of people. That's the most wicked of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's been created. Those individuals come along and make these mausoleums, make these statues, and make these shrines any of the righteous many individuals. Like what we find, something else to do with aqidah. Is this new belief of that every single belief, the multi-faith discussion that we find. We're not against having discussion on other faiths, but some Muslims are trying to push that every single path or the Abrahamic faith, as they say, leads what? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether you go down a path of Judaism, you go down a path of Christianity or Islam, together we'll eventually meet. There's no harm in saying, for example, my Christian brother or something, people shouldn't get over emotion about that. Haraj. Person just says that out of general speech. But if a person believes that their belief and our belief is synonymous, that whichever path that you take, you'll eventually get to paradise, that's another kufr. This is disbelief. That's crystal clear. There should be no any imitation in this in thinking that all paths lead to paradise. All paths don't lead to paradise. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Only one path leads to paradise. The one path of Islam, if we began with, the one path that leads individuals to paradise. That's the Quran, which rebukes of individuals. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Ibrahim, he wasn't a Jew, he wasn't a Christian. He was Hanif, one was solely submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim. Why do you attribute that he was a Jew or a Christian? The Torah was only sent down when? After him. The Injil was sent down after him. So how was he ever a Jew? How was he ever a Christian? Rather, he was following the way of all the Anbiya, of being a Muslim submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how defined, kafarna bikum, wabada baynana wa baynakum al-adawah wal-bawda, abadan hatta tu'minu billahi wahda. There's no any compromise. There's enmity and hatred between us and you until you don't come to the one common platform. that we are only supposed to be submitting and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Now people may think, you know, that sounds very harsh. But what are some of these individuals attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Quran mentions, and da'u lirrahmani walada. They attribute a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we turn around and say, well, this is just trivial. How could that be trivial? Ra'su aqidatihim, the essence of their faith is tathneef, is trinity. Or the essence of their faith is that Jesus is the son of God. Yes, there may be some Christians who divert away from there. Or Maryam being the mother of God, him being the son of God, so she needs to be worshipped as well. So how can we just turn a blind eye and say, well, leave these affairs, there's other affairs that we should be worried about. How can there be other affairs that we could be worried about? Yes, we can discuss so many different things about the world. We can become unity upon things that concern the world, the global impact of the world, the ozone layer, or poverty, whatever it may be. We can discuss that. We're not against discussion. We're not against unity upon those things. That's the way of the Prophet Muhammad. Those things which have a mutual concern, that's fine. But those things which have to do with aqidah, with belief, any, are we supposed to now, as some have attributed in the seerah, some have made it weak, but we mention it anyhow for beneficial purposes, that when some of the Quraysh said that one year we worship your Lord, then 1 year we worship any our idols. And what is this? Do you think the Prophet will compromise? Do you think this is some shopping exchange of having some agreement that one year we worship idols and you come back and then you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say to the disbelievers, and it's one of the rare occasions the word kafir is used in the Quran. The Quran doesn't always use the word kufar, it does in certain instances talking about them, but very rarely. But this is one of the clearest verses addressing them as kafir, as disbelievers. So for us to come along and say, any al-Yahud, mithluna, or al-Nasara, mithluna, wa aqidatum sawa, their faith is the same, there's only minor difference between us and them, this is dangerous. Yeah, this is dangerous, as I mentioned, we don't want to really face any individual disbeliever, but maybe tempted, huh? ذَلِكَ بِيَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَكْفُرُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِخَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. These individuals used to slay the prophets. They used to kill the prophets, torture them, embarrass them, and likewise used to reject them in the truth. Secondly, فَأَنَّا يَتَعَلَّمْ بِالْأَقَاعِدِ. That which is big with aqa'id is a'yad, celebrations. Celebrations that we find around us, a'yad al-milad, whether it be the birthday celebration we find now, people celebrating the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've not been left in the dark. The answer is something very, very simple. Everything about the life of the Prophet Muhammad has been documented. The way that he slept, the way that he wept, the way he urinated, he defecated, the way he kissed his wife, the way he dressed, the way he combed his hair, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he laughed. And look, all of a sudden, you don't find in any book of hadith, one simple hadith that says, don't forget to celebrate my birthday. Strange, isn't it? Very, very strange it is. Everything has been documented, and all of a sudden, because for them, remember, we're not trying to have a go at them, for them it's the symbol. Because if you believe in the birthday, you are the real and the sunnah. Okay? That's for them the symbol. They try to pretend, well, it's not that important, we don't have to celebrate it. But if you don't celebrate it, you're an outcast. If you do celebrate it, you are the real lovers of the Prophet Muhammad. So we say to them, if our ulama spent all their life going through the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad, why don't we find a crystal clear hadith? Don't quote to us that the Prophet said that I was born on a Monday, I like to fast on a Monday, fast on a Thursday. That doesn't prove the point. That's just like the people who believe in dhikr, who say that dhikr is excellent. Yes, afdalul dhikr is la ilaha illallah. We don't disagree with that. But where does it say that to say who is dhikr now? The kayfiyah. Where does it say the kayfiyah is like this? Ibadah is tawfiqiyah. Ibadah is restricted. You cannot come along and say, do this action. I feel like doing this. I feel like showing love to the Prophet Muhammad. You can't do that. The burden of proof lies upon them to prove it's a sunnah. There's no burden of proof upon us as Ahlul Sunnah to disprove them. So people come and say, disprove their belief. The asas, the foundation of them is corrupt. Their foundation is based upon what? Mawdu'at. Is based upon fabricated beliefs. مَنْ زَارَ قَبْرِي وَجَبَتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي. Whoever visits my grave it becomes incumbent upon me, upon that individual, to receive my intercession. This is not even a hadith, for who am who fabricated. Whoever performs Hajj, وَلَمْ يَزُرْ قَبْرِي فَقَدْ جَفَانِي. Whoever performs Hajj, it doesn't come and visit my grave, has beguiled me, has disrespected me. For who a statement, موضوع, fabricated. That's what they are. Their assess is fabricated narrations. The whole foundation is corrupt. And some of them bluntly, you know what they say? You know what they say? They say the Christians celebrate the birthday of Jesus, so we should be having even more right to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. So that's they use the same Christmas lights inside the masjid. They use them for the celebrations. This is love and respect for what the Prophet Muhammad said. Like we find A'yad al-Watan. Days of independence, days of celebration that we find. Days of liberation, days of freedom. What days of freedom? What liberation do we have? We are still slaves. Days of colonialism, yes, they've gone, imperialism have gone 100 or 150 years ago, but you know the mentality, the slave mentality, yes sir, three bags full, you know, excuse the expression, whatever the white man says, that's it, isn't it? That's what it is. It's still there. In many of the Muslim lands, still exists. So what are we celebrating? What days of independence or liberation are we celebrating? There's only 2 days of being for us. Eid al-Fitr, wa Eid al-Adha, that's it, finished. Ayyam al-Watan, days of independence, of national days, and spending millions, and whatever it may be, of parading and doing this and doing that. And the poor Muslim woman or poor Muslim child is persecuted. What's the point of all these symbols, these stars, and these weapons, and these tanks, and these planes? You do what with them? Walk around the streets and parade with them? For what purpose? What goodness is all of this? And then we say that we are celebrating days of liberation. Likewise, Ayyam al-Uruj. Wedding anniversaries that we find Muslims on a wedding anniversary cruise. Eh? Isn't it? Need to have, what do we need to have when before you get married? What is it? What do you call it? Honeymoon. Isn't it?
Yeah.
What type of behavior is this for Muslims? Or do you find out Valentine's coming as well, Muslims rushing to buy gifts or whatever it may be? Eh? These days of celebration, we don't have these. These are all taqleed, all imitation of these individuals that we find. And evidence of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُوا بِاللَّهِ مَرُوا كِرَامًا. The sifat of Ibad al-Rahman, end of Surah Al-Furqan, the fifth chapter of Quran. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Ibad al-Rahman walk upon the earth in a state of humility and devotion. When the ignorant individual begin to pester them and molest them, they say salam and walk away from them. Sifat, they continue. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ. Those who pay no testimony to falsehood. The first meaning of zuhud is false testimony. Lying, false practices, taking a false oath. That's the literal meaning. Ibn Kathir is tafsir, go back and read it, mentions another meaning of zuhud. He said, الزُّورَ بِمَعْنَا أَعْيَادُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْكُفَّارِ. The days of celebration for the disbelievers and mushrikun, the believer stays away from that. Pays no testimony, no acknowledgement in these days, etc. that we find. Thirdly, we find our ibadat. That this any imitation is even dropped into ibadat, into our worship. Ta'khir Salatul Maghrib. The delay of Salatul Maghrib or the opening of the fast. That many people making sure that Big Ben has struck the clock, wait another 2 minutes, wait another 3 minutes, or even when we begin our fast, what do people say? They write in the calendar, waqtul ihtiyar.
And the 4 minutes.
And 4 minutes?
Yeah.
But then, inshallah. Waqtul ihtiyar. Time of any? Provincial time. In between, if you look at the calendar, many have this 20-minute, 30-minute period, it could be falling into Fajr time. So just as a precautionary measure, we stop our fast 20 minutes before. Where is this for the Sunnah? The Sunnah is to carry eating and drinking when? Until you hear that adhan. If you're carrying something, okay, you carry drinking it. If you're taking a date, you carry eating it. It doesn't mean to grab everything and throw it into your mouth. Take what you can, that's what it means. This is the invitation to the individuals. You find a hadith, this ummah will be upon success as long as it begins to do what? Hasten to open its fast. Think about these words deeply. Today we find we're doing the opposite. Many of our actions are opposite or contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like what five at the tafriq, yani fil hudud, making a distinction in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We punish the ba'if and we leave the rich, the aghniya, they go scout free. People commit haram actions, but we don't implement the hudud upon them, or we don't question what these people they begin to do, or leave those individuals alone. Leave people in power, in sovereign authority. You know, if they do something haram, just turn a blind eye. And some of our brothers, they're imbalanced. I don't want to revoke the whole of my discussion, but if a person, for example, doesn't keep a beard, for who is shaitan, he's this, he's that, the other. But people around them with authority, their pictures are plastered all around the country and everything. Don't say nothing about that. Don't talk about mistakes. Don't talk about that. Anybody else who may take a picture of this is haram, tashaddud alayhi. But everywhere else that we go, people take pictures and display them and do this and do that. But no, don't talk about that. Leave them alone. Where in Islam does it say leave them alone? Where does it say that? Islam says that what is for me is for you. What is for you is for me, not the fear. That's what Osama bin Zayd came to make what? Came to intercede to the Prophet Muhammad about a woman who'd stolen because she happened to be a rich woman. Leave her alone. Are you trying to intercede in one of the rules and regulations that hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did he say to him? He said, "La Fatima bint Muhammad saraqat, la qata'tu yadaha." He said, "If my own beloved daughter was to steal, would I say she's my daughter? Would I say that she's the daughter of a prophet? Or she's married to Ali? Or she's a noble woman? I would do what? I would amputate her hand. I would chop off her hand." That's what the Sharia says. That the sword of the Sharia, the sword, the blade of the Sharia drops upon everyone. Drops on who? On everyone. No tafriq. A tafriq fil hudud that we find at the moment exists, unfortunately, is what we find, imitation of the disbelievers, unfortunately. Likewise, we find al-adat wal-akhlaq wal-suluk in our practices, in our etiquettes, and our behavior. Amongst those practices that we find, which is imitation, is standing up for the leaders. People become a person, authority comes, whatever it may be, that we begin to stand up for them, bowing for them as well. I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures of in Syria. What are they doing? Taking pictures of the leader, bowing, making such them. Bowing in front of their leader. Ulama mentioned that there's no harm in standing for a person, for a sheikh, for a person out of love and respect. But if that person wants you to stand out of arrogance and will punish you, or will do something to you, then you should definitely not stand for that person. You should definitely not stand for that person at all. But let them know that we don't stand up for any individual. Like when I'm drinking from ornaments, silver, of gold. And you find many people begin to do this thinking it's not haram. It's all imitation, disbelievers. Eating one's left hand, wearing of wedding rings that you find as well. People wear them to show that I'm married. And if you should wear the rings, etc. It's imitation. Wearing of certain garments, etc. that you find, yes, there's no harm in wearing pantaloon, wearing trousers, etc. It's sure, when you are mentioned, even for the father, to be baggy, to be loose, to be above the ankles, etc. It's all there. Or women imitating men in a dress sense, or men imitating women, or wearing a dress sense, which is specific to people who are immoral. Muslims shouldn't do that. Even many sisters ask the question, can I dye my hair like this, or do this like this? If this is imitation of women who are fajirat, of women who are immoral, bad women, it's not allowed for a woman to copy that, to emulate that. That's the fatwa of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi. So women need to be careful, because sometimes go and do these things thinking that there's no harm in that. We've got this freedom of whatever is underneath the hijab, is we're allowed to do it. No, if it's imitation of fajirat, of immoral women, bad women, it's not allowed for a Muslim woman to emulate or to copy any of those individuals. Like how we find, now we return back to the masjid, that we should take the Islamic dress, and we can see that it, in the Tamiya, you mentioned that the external appearance has an impact on the internal appearance. Thus, you find the subcontinent, in the 18th century, they made speaking English haram, they made dressing in trousers and a suit as haram. Even this fatwa doesn't apply no more. But their main reason, you know what was the main reason? Is because that external appearance makes you emulate them. Don't you see sometimes a person wearing a suit, how they begin to behave and conduct and think that they're civilized, they're more dignified, they're more mannered, isn't it? That's what sometimes say to a chef, you know, when you come to Kent down and see, wear a nice bowler hat and a nice suit, you know, trim your beard a bit before you come to Sunday, you just make it look nice and tidy. That's what some Muslims, they think, don't they? They are expressive. We've had discussion, then they say that to us. They say that to us. You know, when you come there, you know, maybe you could, you know, tidy yourself up slightly, etc. That we find. Where is this from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are who we are. We're common azad of Islam. We are people given a dainty by Islam. We hold fast to Islam and then, you know, to the teachings of Islam. So we find that these conditions should be, we should have them in mind. So we come back to the masjid. Ya Bani Adam Kudu Zina from Inda Buddhi Masjid. Oh, children of Adam, come to the masjid, take your zina, take your good clothing. Take the clothing which is in Islamic in a sense, in general, which is acceptable. So Muslim, very young Muslims should be vigilant about the dress sense that we find in around us. Likewise, right from Adab, the most clearest example is Halqul Lihya, the shaving in of one's beard. Islam doesn't rest upon that, but we should, because the topic is about imitating disbelievers, we find many ahadith. Grow your beard, trim your moustache, Iqra'ul Lihya, Mina Sunnah is wajibah, the growing of beard is compulsory, being khisar al-fitra, from the essence of the disposition, fitra of the human being, wahadu al-anbiya, the way of the prophets, mukhalafata li'a'da'illah, being different from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fihi al-nadafa wal-waqar li'l-rajul wal-jamal, the person is shown and dignified to be a man, a human being, in a state of beauty, all of this that a Muslim should be doing. Not that the whole of Islam rests upon that, we try to highlight, this is one invitation any of the disbelievers that we find. So we find that we should feel pride in our faith. As the Quran mentioned, فَمَنْ اتَّبَعْ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Whoever follows my guidance, that individual will never be misguided, وَلَا يَشْقَى, will never be a wretched individual. So one who follows Islam will be in a state of any happiness, contentment, and be rightly guided. فَمَنْ اتَّبَعْ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Whoever follows my guidance, those individuals will never be feared, in a state of being fearful, or in a state of grief. And likewise, find, in conclusion, al-asbab. Some of the reasons why this is begun to take place, of imitation, some of them we touched upon, but just to conclude, first we mention something which has been prophesied by the Prophet. When you mention the hadith, you begin to follow the people that came many before you. And likewise, we mentioned, external imitation leads to internal imitation. And likewise, internal imitation leads to external imitation you need as well. So contradict them externally, you contradict them inwardly. Contradict them inwardly, you contradict them externally you need as well. The planning and the treachery of the disbelievers is at its peak, even currently at the moment as well, to infuse and to bring about in the Muslims ways of dismantling them, trying to show them a better way of life, etc. Secondly, find jahlu bid-deen, ignorance of ad-deen. Some of us don't know what our deen is, we don't know the symbols of our deen, we don't know the value of our Islam or the symbols of Islam, but we begin to look at something else. Likewise, we find that for Muslimin, Madiyan or Askariyan, weakness of some of the Muslims in their wealth and their possessions and their status, that because of that we begin to look at other authorities or other practices that we begin to take them and develop them inside our countries and our practices. Likewise, we find Kaybul Munafiqeen fi khidmati al-kuffar, the treachery or the hypocrisy of the hypocrites any around us, amongst us, who are going around and serving any the disbelievers. So there could be disbelievers who pretend to be Muslims, who go around trying to create this inside the Muslim any society. There could be people who are originally Muslims, who have gone astray and apostated by the service that they begin to do, or people who want people to come towards filth, towards corruption. They want to spread vices and sins and practices. The Quran mentioned in الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. People love to spread vice, immorality and bad behavior. For them will be an evil chastisement inside the world and likewise inside the Akhirah as well. Likewise we find that these individuals will be exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth and even before in the Akhirah. And we need to remember we began with أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيمٌ. Indeed the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very close. And likewise, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be dominant. The symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be dominant. Kalimatullahi hiya al-ulya. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always remain lofty and supreme. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are only days that we alternate. One day here, one day there, a month there, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. And once we alternated to return back once again to be the total domination of Islam, to make a clear distinction between the imani and kufr. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to make a clear distinction inside our aqaid, in our belief, inside our suluk, our adat, our ibadat, to be according to the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم سبحانه وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.